Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 114 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm super excited to have Leslie Rourke from Ubon's Barbecue of Yazoo, which is in Yazoo, Mississippi. I've wanted to talk to Leslie for a long time. It's especially important because her father, Gary, recently passed. And if you know anything about Ubon's Barbecue, you know that it's Gary and Leslie and Leslie and Gary, and they're a father-daughter team and father-daughter team when it came to the restaurant and the sauce and the Bloody Mary mix and everything that they do. And his passing was a big shock to a lot of people in the industry and a big blow to a lot of people in the industry because he was an important figure, and the two of them together were really special. And we get into talking about her father and what he meant to her as well as the barbecue industry, and about his progression and then her progression, how she got involved, and about their restaurant in Yazoo, Mississippi, and about their sauce and how special it is, and their Bloody Mary mix, and just chock full of so much stuff. It's really heartfelt, really wonderful. Leslie is just amazing to listen to. I know you're going to love it. And this episode and podcast is sponsored by The Smoke Sheet, which is a barbecue newsletter, a weekly newsletter that is awesome, and you should sign up. It's at bbqnewsletter.com. I've been subscribed from the get-go, and every week that I get it, there's tons of information that I know about. There's barbecue joint openings and closures, which is good to know. So that way you have a heads up if you're traveling to a certain city and the restaurant is closed, or if there's a second location or whatnot within the barbecue joint world. There's also news on events that are coming up pretty far in advance. So that way you could sign up, book tickets, go to it. I always miss out on barbecue events, so it's that right there is an awesome part of the tool. There's links to podcasts, there's links to YouTube stuff, there's a recipe a week, which is hand curated, which this entire thing is hand curated by Ryan Cooper, barbecue tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is NYC barbecue, both super knowledgeable. Both have been traveling around and going to barbecue joints for years, so they are experts in the field. It is it's a great, great resource. It's barbecuenewsletter.com. Again, it's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. You're going to love it. And if you are digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any episodes. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, barbecue joint tours, butcher shop tours, sausage making facilities, just tons of information. So it's super useful, but enjoy this. Thanks so much, Leslie. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. It's a little chilly in Mississippi.
Yeah, what's the weather like right now?
Yeah, we're like in the low 30s. And, you know, yesterday was rainy and in the 70s. And today is sunny in the 30s. And I recently saw something that said that Mississippi says, you say you can't do four seasons in one day. Mississippi says, hey, darling, hold my sweet tea and watch this. So that's kind of where we are.
God, it seems like it actually does sound like a recipe for getting a cold, because gosh, if that's a huge, but that's kind of like Los Angeles. We had 4 or 5 days of a lot of rain for us, and yeah, it was cold for us. And then now it's in the 80s. So it's kind of,
yeah. Now, when I've been to Los Angeles and it rained, everything like came to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the news channels go to like every corner where there's like a little bit of flooding, and they call it storm watch.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I dated a girl who was from Illinois. And I'd text her, I'd say, or I'd call her and say, it's raining right now. She's like, you don't know rain.
You don't even know.
I'd say, it's humid. And she's like, you don't know humidity.
You don't know.
So it made me realize really quick that we're babies, but what can we do?
That's okay.
So I wanted to talk, first off, my condolences for your loss. Your father was such an amazing, amazing person and amazing force in the barbecue industry. Can we talk a little bit about him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this has been the hardest season of my life. When I was 15 years old, my daddy started doing competition barbecue, and, it was out of an effort to sell our barbecue sauce. He had just gotten it in bottles, and, he kind of stumbled on the barbecue scene, just trying to find grocery stores to sell barbecue sauce to. And, you know, so he had 30 years in the barbecue business, and it was amazing to watch him go from, well, I mean, he was younger than I am now when he got started. And, when he died, he was almost 67 years old. And to watch that process was just, it was amazing. It was like watching a birth, you know. It was he found himself in barbecue.
And what did he ever talk about how barbecue had changed a lot, or like how at the beginning there weren't celebrities in barbecue, really?
Right. You know, in the beginning it was us. It was rednecks hanging out burning meat. And in the beginning, there were no females hanging out burning meat, you know. And so what we've seen has been, it's been amazing. We've watched barbecue go from, you know, weenies and burgers on the grill to people are doing such just amazing artistry with fire. It's just been, the evolution's been amazing.
The opportunity to spend so much time with him. I worked with my father before he passed, and he passed around the same age as your father. That's invaluable. Those memories, as you were, because it's kind of synonymous, like Leslie and Gary, people just knew you guys as one unit.
Right. He and I have been a team for so long. It's been really, really tough trying to figure out, like, what do I do next? And every time I get, you know, somebody contacts me about doing interviews or doing TV or, you know, even just people coming in the restaurant every day, it's a process of, oh my goodness, it's not over yet. I can't believe it's not over yet. You know, he was barbecue to me. And so trying to, be the person that he taught me to be, it's kind of a no brainer. I mean, he left footprints to follow. He left shoes to fill. And so he left me a roadmap for what to continue to do, you know, what to keep doing. But I tell you what, it's tough doing it without him.
And also too, I think what touched me a lot, because it definitely, I definitely felt really, really sad. And then it saw the community was reaching out in such a big way. How many people would post things about your father? It really touched me, and I'm sure it really touched you.
It was almost impossible to keep up. The day that he died, I was at work, you know, because I am kind of my family's designated public mourner. You know, my mom's kind of shy, and my sister's not really in the barbecue world, so she doesn't know everybody that's offering their condolences. And so it's been, you know, it's been the outpouring of love. Like his funeral, I said the only thing missing from his funeral was him, because he would have just gotten such a kick out of just how many people came.
And that's so neat.
Just the overwhelming amount of love. And that's the thing about the barbecue community, is that, you know, we treat each other like family, and we really support each other. You know, as brothers and sisters, and this whole situation is really driven home how much my daddy meant to everybody, but how much I do too, you know. I mean, how many?
Oh, friends? Without a doubt, yeah. The two of you, and that's and I'm a guy from Los Angeles that didn't grow up in that barbecue world, right, that just fell into it, like this, loving it, and it touched me. So I wanted to reach out instantly, and it's always been, yeah, that's. I think that also too, this will be an interesting year for you too. It'll be like going to a lot of the competitions and seeing things. It'll be nice and a good way to remember your father that way. Oh,
absolutely. The week after his funeral, we had a festival already planned. You know, we were headed to Kentucky to the Kentucky State Barbecue Festival. And my uncle is kind of a hermit. He doesn't come out of his little corner of the world, you know. And he actually came to me and said that he wanted to go with me to Kentucky.
Oh,
and
that's so nice.
When when Daddy's father died, my uncle was working with him, and they were in the middle of building a dentist office. And my uncle was only like 22 years old and had to figure out how to finish things by himself. And he was just really, really frightened. And so he didn't want me by myself going into something. And he knew that he didn't know, you know, he didn't have the knowledge that my daddy had, but he could be there and support me. And so it was just really the sweetness that's just been given to us has just been overwhelmingly comforting.
Again, he's greatly missed, but you're here and you're such a wonderful force too. Let's talk about the beginning. So your dad started with the sauce. And what was the progression from that?
Right. So just to go back a little bit further than that, my great grandmother would make on Sundays, she would make meatballs, and she made the sauce to go with the meatballs. And then once a year, she and my great grandfather would host a pig roast. They would have a whole hog or a side of beef and invite the whole entire town to come, you know, partake in it. And they would mix up grandmother's barbecue sauce in a number three wash tub, stir it with a boat paddle, you know, the whole thing.
Great.
So that sauce was passed down to my grandfather, who is Eubon Roark. That's where our name comes from.
Gotcha.
And then when he died in 81, he passed that recipe on to my dad.
Okay.
And so in 1986, Daddy started. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm dinging. I don't mean to ding. Okay. In 1986, Daddy put sauce in a bottle for the first time and started working to get it into grocery stores. And it was kind of it was load up the back of his truck and drive through the Mississippi Delta and see how much he could sell. Oh. And during one of those drives, he met some folks that invited him to a barbecue competition in Cleveland, Mississippi. And so in 1989, it's funny because we're kind of back full circle. In 1989, he showed up and he cooked a steak and he cooked some barbecue chicken. And now this SEA is huge, you know.
Yeah.
So it was like, but Daddy didn't know. When he thought barbecue, he thought, you know, a steak or a burger or barbecue chicken.
Of course.
And so he found out quickly that, you know, barbecue in Mississippi means pork shoulder, ribs, and whole hog. And so so he started the process of learning to cook a pork shoulder. And I guess I was probably maybe 15. And he would, every single night, he would give it another shot, and we ate some of the most horrible barbecue ever. I mean, terrible. If you smoked a telephone pole, I'm pretty sure that's what it would taste like.
What was he cooking on?
he was cooking on green hickory. He was using just charcoal and green hickory and pouring green smoke to that stuff. And so, you know, it was just terrible. The cat even was like, "No, thank you." And so he finally like found people who could tell him, you know, this is the wood you use, this is the temperature that you're shooting for, this is the cook time that you're shooting for. And so by 1990, he was fully on the scene. And in late 1990, he won his first grand championship, which at that point meant that you were invited to Memphis in May.
Okay.
And so in 91, he went to his first Memphis in May. And I was 17 years old. I was about to graduate from high school. And Mom and Daddy told us that we were going, and we didn't want to go, me and my younger sister.
Of course.
Right. We told them that was old people fun, and we didn't want to be part of that. And so Mama called and said, you know, y'all are coming, and bring your boots because it's going to be muddy. And we're like, boots? Worse and worse.
Yeah, I can't see. They're terrible.
Yeah, it's just, come on. I don't want to do this. And so we get there, and it's a full-mile-long party. And we're like, hey, whoa, wait a minute. We were not expecting this much fun. And it just sort of, from that point forward, I went to college, and daddy couldn't get me to come to Yazoo City, but I would go anywhere to cook any weekend that he wanted to. And so I think that was a part of the reason that we did so many runs, was because it meant that we could be together, you know.
Wow.
And it was magical.
So in those early days, there were people, because that's the early days of competition barbecue. That's right. But there's a lot of people that are still doing it now that were right. doing it then. When did you guys start to have some success in that? Because you won. What was the competition that he won to get into Memphis in May? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was our local contest here in Yazoo City. It was that one. I think he had cooked through, you know, probably six or seven through the Mississippi Delta area. And up in Clarksdale, up in, you know, right around Memphis. And so he was cooking mostly local. And, you know, that entry to Memphis in May was just, that was, we thought we'd arrived at that point. And, you know, after, I think our first time on the stage at Memphis in May was in 96. Mm-hmm. We won first place, and it was just, we were just,
yeah, what was that like?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've got a picture of us. We were wearing, we called them our church's fried chicken shirts. They were these awful striped, polo shirts, you know, and we just, I'm telling you, we just thought we were at the top of the heap at that point. And, you know, we knew we'd make finals. They call that top three, and our little group would say, "Don't say us, don't say us." And then they called the, you know, number two, and it wasn't us. And it was just like, I had never experienced anything even close to that.
What does that mean? That's incredible. What did that mean nationally? Did people start to recognize you guys a little bit more nationally, or was it not even that kind of situation?
Yeah, not at all. At that point, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have, we didn't even have cell phones at that point. And so it was, you know, it was the commercial appeal in Memphis and the Yazoo Herald in Yazoo City and the Clarion Ledger in Jackson. And that was as big of a splash as it got. There was just, you know, I mean, it was a huge deal to us. It wasn't a big deal to most people, because most people didn't even really have a clue about what was going on.
True.
And you know, we continued from there. In 2004, Daddy and his partner opened Yvonne's Restaurant.
Was that in the back of your guys' mind, or was that the back of your father's mind, or?
It really, I think Daddy had been a partner in a Dairy Queen. He wasn't like the managing partner. He had just been a partner in that. Oh, and he knew how hard it was. I think his big dream was to make a bazillion dollars off of that barbecue sauce. And, you know, now we know every knucklehead with a bathtub has their own barbecue sauce recipe.
Of course. And they're all making it at their house. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so how do we compete with a $6 bottle of barbecue sauce against a 98-cent one that you can dress up, you know?
Yeah.
So we didn't know what we didn't know back then. Daddy had worked at a fertilizer company he started the day after I was born, and in 2003 was laid off. He was part of a workforce reduction. Okay. And so it was like, okay, well, what do we do now? He was in his mid-50s, and it was, he did data processing, and so he was already out of the tech loop as soon as he lost that job, you know. And so it was like, well, what do we do now? And he, you know, his friend said, well, this is the time you open your barbecue place. Yeah. So we jumped in there, and it was, you know, the first year of business was just horrible. It was just, you know, we found out that just because you've eaten in a restaurant doesn't mean you're qualified to
own. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
We found that out the hard way, you know, 7 days a week, and just, it was a grind.
What was on the menu at the time?
It was pretty close to what we have now. We had, you know, we do the whole, the ribs, we do the shoulder, We, of course, do barbecue chicken. That's where we got started. We added brisket, and Daddy had never cooked a brisket when he put brisket on the menu. So what we have as what our brisket is not Texas style at all. It's Mississippi style. It's what Daddy made up brisket to be, you know. So it was a barbecue joint, you know, and Daddy was, you know, Daddy even cooked the French fries. It was rough.
So that first year was just really rough.
Yeah.
Were there times where he was thinking about doing something else, or?
You know, Daddy's partner had sort of a global outlook. He pushed us. We opened, we opened Ubines and Yazoo in June, and then in November we opened Ubines in another town about 45 minutes away. We took over a deli here in town, and we were looking at opening a fourth place. And Daddy's partner, his solution was to keep throwing money at it. And we thought it was his money, but it was line of credit money. And so when the partnership kind of melted down, I stepped in and, became Daddy's partner. And he and I had to have, you know, we had to have some really hard conversations. Mm-hmm. I had to go to him and say, we have to close these places. We don't have the money to stay open. You know, we have to close these places.
Yeah, you have to be smart. It's tough, though. It's really tough.
Right, and it sucks to have to, you know, Daddy and I couldn't make eye contact because we were both so tearful. We were embarrassed. We were, you know, we felt like we'd failed. And, you know, I was depressed and went to bed. And it was a terrible, terrible time. And so once we got all of that stuff and just boiled it back down to, we are really good with the one restaurant, you know, we make a great sauce, we'll continue to sell that, but let's focus on Yazoo. And the next year in 2005, we were invited to the Big Apple Barbecue Block Party, and that's where everything changed for us.
For people that might not know about the Big Apple Barbecue, it's what time of year is it again? Is it May?
It's June.
June.
Yeah, it's the first weekend in June, and it Danny Meyer. I suspect that Danny decided to do this festival because he had a barbecue joint in New York and he was doing real barbecue, but New Yorkers didn't know what real barbecue was. Blue smoke. And so in an effort to sort of educate people about barbecue, he brought in that first couple of years. I know Chris Lilly was there. Mike Mills was there. Ed Mitchell was there. A guy named Ed Wilson from Connecticut was there. So we stumbled into that, when they invited us. You know, I told Daddy, we can handle this. You know, me, my mom, my daddy, and my uncle drove up, and, the first time that we pulled that rig into New York City was just, it was terrifying for them.
And they never imagine.
Thing like that, you know, we're riding through and I'm like, look, there's this, look, shut up, you know.
It's scary. There's no trees, it's all buildings.
We're running red lights trying to keep up with the cops that are, you know, giving us an escort. It's crazy. It was unbelievable. We got set up on the street, and I remember looking out and there are just 100,000 people, literally, you know, and 1,000 people standing in line to eat my barbecue. And my barbecue is not ready yet because, you know, good barbecue takes time. You can't pull it before it's
of early. Course not.
And, you know, by that Sunday at 4 o'clock, I'd been pulling meat for, you know, 12 hours the day before and had been doing it since, you know, 4 a.m. that day. And I had tears, you know, just rolling down my face. And my daddy said, baby, go sit down, have a rest. And I was like, no, they're still in line. Look,
I got a breakdown.
Get the people what they want.
But that's I think I've talked to some, I talked to someone else too about how the exposure, that's great exposure.
That's that to really and truly, that festival changed what barbecue is. It was definitely a turning point for barbecue, because at that point, networks started seeing what we were doing. There were, you know, Food Network was, hey, what's this? You know, it was just the press from it not only had people shift, but the national identity of barbecue shifted, because at that point it had only been something that we did, you know, it was redneck meat burning is pretty much all it was. And so, you know, from there we saw the jump into, you know, lots of TV competitions and
that's true. Like the Pitmasters.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, better than them and jumped in and, you know, we saw barbecue shift. We saw the blind box at competitions shift because, with the internet, everybody suddenly knew what everybody else was doing. We knew each other's recipes. We knew what each other's blind boxes looked like. And so everything really started changing about that time.
Were people coming from outside of Yazoo City? And could you talk, what's Yazoo City like?
Yazoo City is, we are on a ridge that looks into the Mississippi Delta. Okay. So we're 45 minutes east of the Mississippi River. We're 3 hours south of Memphis and 3 hours north of New Orleans and smack in the middle of nowhere. Like we have a federal prison system and that's our tourism, you know, that's what brings people here. And, you know, so you got to be coming here on purpose to get here. We don't have I call them my muddy boots crowd, lots of folks that do construction and stuff that come into the restaurant. But when we first started, it was, you know, we depended heavily on people who were there because nobody else was
the locals. Yeah.
Right. And that was even before we had the prison system. So it was, you know, it was strictly a local joint until we got on TV the first time, or, you know, showed up in the paper the first time, and then we started seeing traffic.
And was your barbecue sauce starting to sell more nationally too at that point?
Yeah, at that point we had more people asking for it. In 2007, we were at the block party and we met a couple of guys, and they joined us at Memphis in May, just visiting, you know, for the next year. They were traders on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and just as different from us as you can imagine. They were Jewish kids from Short Hills, New Jersey, and here we are, you know, rednecks from Yazoo City. And we met them, and they were just immediately our family. And I guess back in 2011, we decided to go into business together. And so me and Daddy and the Rosen brothers, Adam and David, opened a company called Ubon Sauce, and they took us to the next level.
Gotcha.
Daddy and I, we only knew what we knew, and we only knew who we knew. And we were smart enough to know that we didn't know how to go to that next step, you know. So we met David and Adam, and we, once we started selling barbecue sauce, we found out, oh my goodness, there's 1,000 on every single shelf. And we made our shift at that point to our Bloody Mary mix.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, we added that line, and it's funny, when we started the Bloody Mary, you know, selling Bloody Mary, that's been probably 4 years ago. There were maybe 10 of us, and we just heard that there were 80 in the most recent product review we did.
Really? So it's like 80 different varieties of Bloody Mary?
Yeah, like, and that was just people trying to get into Safeway or whatever, you know.
That's amazing.
It is. So I hope every knucklehead with a bathtub doesn't get a Bloody Mary recipe.
Are you still working with them?
Absolutely. And at this point, we've got the barbecue sauce and the Bloody Mary mix all over Florida, the Georgia, the Carolinas. We've got a good following in the Northeast. We're still sorting out, you know, distributions, just issues, that kind of stuff that just goes with it.
But people can buy it online.
But people can buy it online, right? We always send people to our website.
And I'll put links to all that so that way people, because, yeah, because on the West Coast, it's not in any store. So that's
right. Right. And that's strictly a function of distribution. You know, it's made in North Carolina and it sits in a heavy glass bottle. And so, you know, we're working on some things that hopefully will get us out to the West Coast. We're trying some new stuff that'll help with our, you know, shipping stuff being in a glass bottle. It's tough.
It's tough. It's nice to have it in a glass bottle.
Right. But you lose a lot of product that way.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, for sure. And so what is Ubon, and is it Ubon or Ubon?
It's Ubon. Ubon. Granddad was he was named for the doctor that delivered him, but the doctor that delivered him was Ulysses Bond, and U.B.O.N. was as close as she could get. So he was the only Ubon I ever heard of.
That's great. Hey, that's good to know, because I'm sure it's mispronounced every so
often. All the time. We get Ubons a lot.
And I think in my head I do it Ubon instead of Ubon.
That's right. Well, my partner tells people, you don't call it Utah, right?
Exactly. Well, it's also like Kansas and Arkansas. That's always weird. Like, it's not Arkansas and Kansas. Like, it's just, we're funny as Americans. It's just we pronounce everything so wacky. So what's the future for Ubons? Is it what are you looking? And also too, how many competitions have you won? Because I know that don't you have all your trophies at your restaurant?
Back in 2001, Mom and Daddy moved from the house that I grew up in to this gorgeous 5,000 square foot antebellum home. Oh. And when they made the move, Mama said, "We are not having a trophy room, not in this house." And so we have a picture of Daddy with all of his trophies from 89 to 2001. And he kept the little placards and...
Oh, that's what I've seen. Okay, I've seen that.
Right. And so so what we have at the restaurant, we've got all of the trophies since 2001. Okay. But, you know, if I'm guessing, and it's terrible because our record keeping, you know, we had no idea in 93 that it would even matter, you know. But I think what we've come up with is we've won right at 50 grand championships. Our most recent back in October, that was a sweet, sweet win. Yes. The very first competition Daddy cooked was Cleveland, Mississippi Oktoberfest in 1989. And in Cleveland, Mississippi Oktoberfest 2018, we were the grand champions.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so it was and for us, kind of our next step, my son Jacob is 15 and he has, you know, when he was 9 years old, he picked up his first knife and started trimming his first shoulder for Memphis in May. Huh. And so the fact that Jacob is so into competition is the only reason that we keep doing it. He loves it. And so so this year we won't cook but three competitions. Okay. We'll cook at Hogs for the Cause in New Orleans. That's a fundraiser for kids with brain cancer. And we'll cook at Memphis in May, because we'll always cook at Memphis in May until I go to my very grave. And this year we'll have our 30th anniversary in Cleveland, Mississippi. So that'll be the last one I ever cook. You know, that'll be where I retire. Now, I'm not planning on that anytime soon.
But when you do retire, that will be your last cook. That's nice to do it that way.
It's where we'll end, you know. We're going to be, this year, there's not going to be a Big Apple barbecue block party in New York. We're so sad about that.
Is that because they moved the location or something?
Yeah. It's just a matter of, you know, getting to the new location. So we're expecting that back in 2020.
Okay.
We'll be cooking in Kansas City. There's going to be a new festival this year in Kansas City. Oh. The guys that do Q in the Lou in St. Louis and the Denver Q Festival in Denver are going to be doing one in Kansas City. And we're going to be doing, we're going to Idaho to cook at I can't remember the name of that event. I'll have to send it to you.
That's okay. Yeah, I'll add it.
Yeah, but we're going to cook in Idaho. We will be at the Windy City Smokeout in Chicago.
Those are cooking for fun, right? Those ones.
Yeah, those are eating festivals. Yeah. And so what we'll do is we'll go. The block party, we cooked 18,000 chicken wings in 2 days, it's not quite that much at these other festivals, but it's, we'll cook, 1,000 pounds of chicken a day for 2 or 3 days. And
Windy City looks like a lot of fun. That one.
It's such a, start to finish. Those guys at Let Us Entertain, you know what they're doing, and not just the music, and the music is amazing, but every single bit of it, the beer, the bourbon, the barbecue, all of it.
People come from all over, a lot of different people, and then also a lot of pit masters and cooks come from Italy.
Yeah, it's a collection of some just seriously, Sam Jones, Pat Martin, right, 17th Street. I mean, it's like the who's who of barbecue.
Don't some guys come from Texas, too? I think there's some Texas guys.
Salt Lick. We last summer, a big group of us traveled. We did the Big Apple block party in New York. And then the very next weekend we were in Denver. And so we laughed because, just the pictures, it was like a circus traveling across the country, one following the next. And,
that's great.
We use the term barbecue family. And we mean it very tightly. The people that are on that festival scene with us are definitely, as close as any family that I've got. Looping back around to my daddy, I couldn't believe the people that came to Yazoo City. Like, only my daddy could get Billy Journey, Sam Jones, and Pat Martin to Yazoo City at one time. It was sad, but it was also just like, it was star-studded, mm-hmm. It was amazing.
And so, those are some of the best people on the planet.
Right.
But they're also like the mega stars of our
exactly of what we do, right? And I'm blessed to call those people friends. I'm also blessed to call, the guys that are not in the restaurant scene that are, weekend warriors out there. I'm blessed to call them my special friends too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's the community. It's bigger than it's ever been, and it's exciting to see it grow.
And it's still growing, which is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's like a huge movement. There are more women than there've ever been,
which is amazing. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are more kids than there've ever been, just my son Jacob's got 10 or 15 friends that are his age that are cooking every weekend. And so knowing that 10 years, 15 years, it's going to keep evolving is exciting to me.
Makes me happy. Yeah,
me too. I mean, I won my first grand championship at 19 in 1992. I was the first female to win on the Memphis and May circuit. And to have come from that when there wasn't even a road to now we're on a superhighway is just, it's amazing.
And the opportunities are there now. They're for sure.
Yeah, and they're there for everybody. That's the best part, is that, barbecue is so inclusive. Everybody's welcome. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about race, creed, religion. None of that stuff matters. If the biggest argument you have is whether you like Texas style or North Carolina style, there's no contention in that.
And that's great. Those are great conversations.
Yeah, it brings world peace.
Uh-huh, I think so.
A little briquette at a time.
if someone's visiting Yazoo City, is it Yazoo too? I think I get that wrong.
It's Yazoo. Yeah. That's just because we're rednecks.
That's okay. It's in my. I have that in my soul anyway. So it's creepy. Is there an opportunity to see you most of the time? Are you there at the restaurant?
Unless I'm at the, at a festival, I am at Ubon's every day. It's taken a long time, but my staff there, the lady that's my manager when I'm gone has been with me since we opened.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You know, her counterpart in the kitchen worked for us for 6 or 7 years and left for a while, and she's back. Terrence is my fry master that's on the road with me. Well, 10 years ago now, he stopped by to visit his mama, who's Miss Deborah, who's my manager. He stopped by to say hello to her and walked out of the door and came back in and said, "Are you hiring?" And I said, "If you want to come to work for me, I will fire the knucklehead in the kitchen right now." And he's like, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow." And I'm like, "Yes." And so he was passing through, only going to stay for a year or so, and he's still here. You know, we're a family, and I'm the least entertaining of everybody that works up there.
I highly doubt that, but that's interesting. So people should stop by, and it's a great place to hang out. And what are the hours?
We're open 7 days a week for lunch. On Friday and Saturday, we're there from, you know, we open at 11 and close at 9. So, you know, we have a blue plate special. In a small town, you got to make sure that, you know, people aren't going to eat barbecue every day. So we've got some good old country stuff every single day. I can't wait to go see what today's Thursday. It's feast day. And so that means it's whatever my TT wanted to cook. And you can promise it's going to be good, good, good. So
gosh, I want to visit so badly.
I know, man. She'll have cabbage greens, and she'll have mac and cheese. And I go in and I don't know what she's got. Some days it's rutabagas. I mean, it can be anything. So, yeah. So even if I'm not there, the entertainment is definitely on with TT there, with Terrence there.
So you said it's 3 hours from Memphis?
Yeah, 3 hours.
That's not too bad. It's not.
No, it's you know, we get a lot of people that, well, if they're doing a barbecue road trip, they'll hit Memphis, maybe hit the Memphis Barbecue Company, come down, eat with us at Ubine's, slide on down and hit the Shed in Ocean
Spring.
That's
what I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah, and then loop back up and catch Chris Lilly, or loop the other way and catch some cool stuff in Texas and Louisiana. So
That's perfect. So yeah. You should be like a destination, and that's another reason why I want to talk to you, so that people, you know, that to highlight where you guys are, because then that way it gets in people's mind that this is where to stop.
You know, you have to be going here to get here, but it's not too far out of the way, and it's definitely worth it. Definitely.
That's great. Well, Leslie, thank you so much. Again, I'm so sorry about your loss, but it sounds like this is important for you. You know,
absolutely.
This is a very important year for you, and I think it's.
It is. Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm so glad. I feel like I'm part of your family, and I'm glad.
Indeed. If you ever see and I say this with sincerity, if you ever see that we're heading somewhere, if you follow us on social media, we're always telling you we're fixing to go to wherever. So if you ever see us headed anywhere that you want to go, consider this your invitation.
All right.
Come
Thank
on,
you.
Join.
Thank you so much. And have a great rest of your week. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I so appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.